about how you speak. So speak, Lord, we will listen. Speak, Lord, we will obey. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with us say, amen. Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
The sermon series we're on for this month is He Bought Us Out to Bring Us In. He brought us out to bring us in. And this is volume 2, part 2. Now, last December, we talked about what he bought us out of. January, we're talking about what he's bringing us into. Our scriptural text for January is Deuteronomy 6, 23. On your handout, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, then he bought us out from there that he might bring us in. The purpose of him bringing us out was not just to bring us out, but he wanted to bring us in. Listen to me, okay? Because often we get excited about coming out. He didn't save you just for the sake of saving you. He didn't fill you with his Holy Spirit just for the sake of filling you with his Holy Spirit. You understand? He didn't do that. There's a purpose. And for some of us, we're just happy to get out. Years ago, I used to be an insurance salesman. I had an insurance license, and we would recruit others. And this one particular young man I grew up with, he's an old man now. He's my age. Bless God. But you have to take an exam, with a state exam. So he arranged his exam, went to school, studied, went downtown L.A., took the exam, passed the test, came home, and me and another agent went to meet with him just to congratulate him. And for the next week or so, he was so excited about, I passed the test. I passed the test. Okay. Yes, you passed the test, but you passed the test. Now you need to go make some sales. He was just stuck on, I passed the test. What if many of you with the same thing, you graduate from high school, you just run around for the next 10 years saying, I got a diploma, I got a diploma, I got a diploma. So he bought you out to bring you in. 6:23 says this, then he bought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. So God had a purpose. Now, on your handout, here's a bullet point. I'm going to repeat this throughout this message. Ask yourself, where has God bought me from? Got it. But also, where does he want to bring me into? Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. Let me give you the context of this. Verse 20, in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. We were. Say were. And sometimes we still be stuck in something we've already been delivered from. We just keep rehearsing and keep rehearsing it, okay? My wife and I used to have problems. Can you imagine if every day I bring it up, you know what you did, you know what you did, you know what you did? How would they make her feel? Now, what if she did that to me? Amen? So we got to move forward, okay? In fact, next month, that's the message forward. We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. This is what they're telling their children, okay? Faith comes by hearing. So that's why I'm even with Brian and Monique. You got to watch what you're speaking over people, okay? Verse 22, the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he has sworn to give our ancestors. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him. Watch this. And to fear him so he can continue. Say continue. So he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives. See, the thing is that we often get excited about coming out, but I want God to always be with me. I want to always experience his presence. I always want his favor. I always want his grace. I always want his protection. I always want him there with me. That's me. So I need to position myself to be able to receive that. I need to place myself, posture myself, do what I need to do so I can have that, so that can be manifesting in my life on a regular basis. I'm not one of those people that really believe it. I try to position myself so I don't need a miracle. Because, see, you'll just jack up and do some stuff, and you're like, Lord, save me, help me. I don't want to get to that point. I try not to live like that. I try not to do that. If I keep him with me, keep his angel encamped around about me, I'll be dealing with stuff all the time. Then I have to be calling my pastor like, can you stand in me with faith, please? I need you to believe with me. I just try to stay out of that. The devil is bad enough, I ain't going to help him. 25, for we will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us. Again, don't you ask yourself, what has he brought you out of and where does he want to bring you into? Turn your hand out over, please. Let's jump into this. He wants to bring us into generosity. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Stay with me. I'm glad you asked. One of the things I desire, and I talked with the advisory team last year, and I talked with the elders and ministers here, we had a getaway in December, is that I want to have a culture of generosity at New Day. A culture of generosity. Now, here's something, you guys are amazing and amazing. Like, last month we had Gift for the King, and I told you we're raising money for, you know, disadvantaged kids and all that, and everybody gave just like boom, 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 boom. You did. I know last year one of the things we did, one of our missionaries needed a laptop. God bless him. He's trying to work on his PhD. Biola University hooked him up with a scholarship for a PhD. You know how much that costs, right? And so he decided to stay here and really work on that. And me and Jackie took him, he and his wife, to lunch, and he's working on a laptop with a shattered screen. I'm like, what is this? He says, well, you know, Pastor, you know, and they're so humble. I'm like, and then I said, what do you need? And he sent us this request for a laptop that was so bottom of the barrel, so basic, you know, I wouldn't even get it for my grandbaby to play with. Yeah. But I talked to some of the IT people here, and we hooked him up. We got him a real nice one. He got all kind of bells and whistles and stuff that I don't understand, but he does. Glory to God. But that's being generous. So our church, when there's a need, we become generous. We just got to do it on a regular basis. For me, he bought me out of dysfunction. He bought me out of scarcity and lack. That's what I grew up in my household. I'm glad my mama ain't here today and she don't listen to the internet. I'm about to tell y'all something. I remember this one particular time, my cousin's boots. Remember, it was so cool to have a boot, up here with the little zipper, you know. And so I'm like 8, 9 years old, so all my cousins, they got boots. And so I got some boots, too, because we're getting boots. Now, I'm from Louisiana. We don't care about fashion in Louisiana. These Californians were always looking good, and we didn't care. They would tease me because my pants were flooding. It took me a year and a half to understand what they were talking about. Some of you call it high water, and, you know. I ain't care. We're from the country. We don't just. Tony, what kind of school clothes you getting? I don't know. We getting corduroys. We getting Levi's. I don't know what a corduroy. I had no clue. So this particular time, we have we got the boots. I mean, I got some boots. But then the other thing, we had silk socks. Silk socks. And so one of my cousins, Cousin Craig, gets in a car. And with my mom and me, and he says, man, no, I didn't have any boots. No, I didn't have any boots. That's right, I didn't have any boots. Because Craig gets in the car, and he says, man, I hate this because my boots always pull my socks down. He said, Tony, don't you hate when that happens? Oh, you don't have any boots. Now, me being, and now this is with that personality part of me that's indifferent and don't care. I didn't care. He said, yeah, I didn't hear anything negative. But my mother, as soon as my cousin got out of the car, what, he's saying we can't have anything? I guess we'll never get anything. She just went, and that's kind of how we grew up. We didn't have, and we never did expect. We didn't do that. So what has God bought me out of? That scarcity mentality. He bought me out of dysfunction. He bought me into a place of blessing. Why? So I can be a blessing. That's the purpose of being blessed. You know, I remember in the 80s, I heard a lot of TV preachers. I ain't going to name no names. And I can't say they didn't say this. I'm going to just say what I heard. Give so you can get. And then, but the thing is, it was an emphasis on we can consume it on ourselves. It was just so I can have more stuff. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just hates when the stuff has you. And I was never taught the purpose of prosperity. Is there a reason he wants to bless me so I can be a blessing to others? Look on your handout, please. 4 bullet points here. I want you to walk away, take 4 takeaways. First one, the blessing. Blessings come through the hands of others. Everything you're going to ever receive is going to come through the hands of somebody else. No, a young man needed a job. He called me, and then I called somebody, and somebody called somebody. Next thing you know, he had a job. Called me, he was happy. That came through the hands of someone else. Bullet point number 2, generous sowing enables a generous harvest. Many times we don't like the harvest we're getting, but we haven't been sowing any seeds. And I need everybody to sit back. I'm not taking a special offering today. There's nothing, just first-time guests. This is not I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. Remember, this is a culture we're trying to create here, okay? Just sit back and receive it, okay? I just want to teach you something, okay? Third bullet point, financial generosity should be a lifestyle, not an occasional event. That's what I was just saying here. Just something we do on a regular. And you got to learn that when a spirit touches your heart, be prompted to give. Fourth bullet point, God expects me to meet the needs of others. He does. He expects me to meet the needs of others. Okay, 80% of y'all didn't get that. Okay, so let's follow me. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, we're going to read. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 15, and we're going to look at this church of Corinth as a church. Now, you know me. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. I like to pretend he's writing a letter to the church in Corona called New Day. I like to personalize this. I like to bring this home. This is me. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. Okay? Now, first one, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving. Say ministry of giving. Now, we understand the praise team ministry, don't we? Pastor Todd, doing a phenomenal job. See, your dad is here and your mom is here. Way to go, bro. Okay, got your wife here, mother-in-law. You got the whole fam. Okay, hallelujah. So we understand the praise team. Mandy, you're having an open house or an event for all that. Everybody wants to be on a praise dance team. That's a ministry, right? Okay, we got the ushers. That's a ministry. We got Jackie's girlfriends as a ministry, right? Amen? Okay. Brotherhood, are we a ministry? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man. All right. There is also a ministry of giving. It's right there in the Bible, and I'm not making it up. Amen. Now, here's the thing. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. So the purpose is they want to be a blessing to the church in Corinth. He's telling them to be a blessing to the church in Jerusalem, okay? Now, many people are amazed. I've had people, first-time guests and people that join our church say, one of the things that touched my heart, Pastor, is you always pray for other churches. So I come in before I start my message. I pray for them right next door. That's Pastor John Boss and Corona Friends, right down the street. Well, they got their last pastor just retired, so I don't know who they're going to replace him with. But that's North Point Church. You know, there's Crossroads Church. Pastor Adam is the pastor there. We have Crossroads. Pastor Chuck is there. Connection Church. That's my friend Jeremy. Down the street is my friend Ron at New Hope. You know, anyway, they got churches all over Corona. And why do you pray for them? Well, it's biblical. Now, the natural man is competitive. And a natural man says, well, you know, I need to take your mind. I need to build up my congregation, my people, you know. I understand that. I do. But then you have that scarcity mentality. What you're saying is that God is not big enough to bless you and them. Now, we have 90,000 people just in Corona. I don't know the entire Inland Empire. 90,000 people in Corona that don't go to church. If everyone in Corona decided to come to church next Sunday, the churches are in trouble. We can have 3 and 4 services. We don't have enough churches. So therefore, if somebody's around the corner wants to start a church, it doesn't threaten me. That's why I've had people that are starting churches come and speak to you guys. I don't care. I don't. Verse 2, for I know how eager you are to help. Oh, whoa, they're eager to help. For I know how eager you are to help, and I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia. Oh, you're telling other churches? That you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Now, I want to bring this in context. Can I have the first picture up, please? Okay. Now, I really want to bring this home. So this is a world map, okay? And so North America, see the red? That's where we live. Got it? Oh, no. See, y'all don't know. I do mission. We have led 54 teams all over the world. And one of the things we start off with is geography. Many people don't know. See Africa at the southern tip? That's a country called South Africa. Many people don't even know South Africa is a country. They just think it's Southern Africa. No, for real. It happens a lot. Okay. So now let's look at Africa for a second. See it? It's orange. Everybody see that? Excuse me. Now see the green, Middle East? Okay, now you see Europe. That's blue. Is that purple? That's purple. Okay. So At the southern part, right under the U in Europe, you see that little extension? That's Italy. You see that? Okay, now see to, that would be to your right. You said other little extension? That's where we're going now, okay? And right there with the green, where the green and the purple come together. Next slide, please. Okay, now that's what we're looking at. Now, you see Greece in the green to your left?
Yes.
Underneath Greece, you see Corinth?
Yes.
There we go. That's the city of Corinth. Okay, all right. Now, above it, you see Thessalonica?
Yes.
You see Philippi?
Yes.
You see underneath Thessalonica, Berea? Remember the Bereans? How they, when Paul would talk to them, they're like, okay, that sounds good, but let us read the word for ourselves. Okay, that's these cities right here, okay? So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and telling them that the churches up there in Philippi, Thessalonica, those are churches in Macedonia. He says they got excited about your giving to the church down here in Jerusalem.
Wow.
I want you to see, because see, that's the thing about us. We just think like new day, new day, new day. God thinks kingdom. Please, we got to think kingdom. I've had people say, well, you know, you spend all the time in them churches in Africa. What about us? He bought you out of your small-mindedness, and he's trying to bring you into this large space of a global mindset. For God so loved Corona that he sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the
world.
You got that? We have to begin to think globally. Pray that all men come into repentance. All men. Doesn't matter what race they are. Doesn't matter what race they are. We get so hung up on that. Please. We got to start thinking kingdom.
Amen.
Just look at me. Everybody look at me. Don't nobody make a comment. Republicans, I need you to think not America first, kingdom first.
Hallelujah.
I said y'all, singing, y'all, hallelujah. That's not anti-Donald Trump. That's not anti-Republican. That's just small-mindedness. Okay? We got to think bigger than that. We have more than enough resources in America alone for every single American to be a millionaire. We do. But it's that fear. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. We got to think kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. Y'all struggling with that right now. Look at verse 3. Let's move on. But I am sending these brothers to be sure you are really ready, that's Paul talking, as I've been telling them that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found out you weren't ready after I told them, after all I told them. Verse 5. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead to make sure the gift, say the gift.
Yeah.
Your offering is a gift. Your offering is a gift. And a gift is something that blesses somebody else, okay? To make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. That's why we take one offering here.
Amen.
I'm not going to have 12 offerings and, you know, okay, ushers, stand by the doors. I've seen some things. Anyway, Big Ron, can you stand up for a minute? Can you stand? Just stand up. Just stand up. Stand up. So what the pastors would do, they have like four or five brothers his size standing by the doors. And that's intimidating. Because people might want to leave, and then you look at him like, oh, well, let me go on and give a little something.
<That's good.
laughs> Amen. So it's a mind shift. It's a mind shift, a mindset shift. Okay, look at verse 6. Remember this. Remember this. And he's quoting Proverbs here. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants how?
Generously.
One more time.
Generously.
Will get a what?
Generous crop.
Let that sit in, sink in for a minute. And some of you are probably saying, well, Pastor, I got bills right now. I understand. Pastor, I can't. I understand. So then what you need to do is make a desire in your heart, make a purpose that, you know what, I'm getting out of this situation, and I want to position myself so I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Okay? Get a plant. Give me a second. Get a plan together. Sit down. We're going to have a budget thing starting next month. Actually, you can come to the office. We have people designated to help you with your budget. And then just make a plan. You know, 6-8 months, I'm going to get out of this situation. Boom, boom, boom. So I can be a blessing. Just be intentional about it, okay? Verse 7. You must decide. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's why I'm pressuring you, okay? But God loves a person who gives how?
Cheerfully.
Cheerfully means happy and hilarious to give. Now, so here's the thing. So let me talk to you about tithing just for a second. Tithing is 10%. Say 10%.
10%.
Tithing means a tenth. Now, here's the thing. I see debates on Facebook and people and say, you know, tithing went out with the law and all that. Let me help you. Let me help you. That's why you need to read the whole Bible. Say whole Bible. Okay. So, Abraham, who God used to start the whole nation of Israel, which we, even though we're not Jewish people, we're grafted in, okay? And come to Bible study, you'll get all this information. Okay. He gave a tenth. Got it? That's how it started. That's what we call the biblical standard. Now, those that are against tithing, I wonder why would you be against giving, why you would be against giving 10% to the Lord. I don't know. Hard issue. But here's the deal. After, later on, God instituted a law when the nation of Israel were millions of people, and the government or the running of the country and the people needed to be funded. So he had 12 tribes. There were 12 different groups within Israel. One of those particular tribes were the Levites. The Levites did not work per se. They didn't have to have like a typical 9-to-5. They were modern-day pastors and ministers. They ran the ministry. Now, in order for them to run the ministry and do everything, they couldn't have a 9-to-5. So then the money that was raised from the children of Israel were given to help sustain them. This is all in the Bible, okay? And just the running of everything, so all the needs of the people could be met. Now, Malachi chapter 3, and everybody quotes this, will a man rob God? Well, where have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. And God says, prove me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be. Oh, y'all don't know that verse. So there will be meat. So the purpose of the tithing is so that there will be. Okay, scratch my left. Okay, Malachi 3:10, Lavelle, please. And let me have King James Version, because I want you to get this. I want you to get this, okay? Bring some of the tithes. Bring all the tithes where? That there may be food in my house. So what's the purpose of the tithe? Now, who's going to eat the food? Everybody. Now, here's the thing. If this church wasn't giving enough, I couldn't be full time. And I'm going to tell you something. I was tired last night. Can you imagine if I had a 9-to-5? And I had to deal with a 91 also? I need you to think about that for a moment. Now, I see some people like, well, the pastor should work for free. Look, I like to eat too. Out your mind. You try doing what I do. I got hardly a cush. You sit on an airplane for 21 hours. Let's see what happened to your butt cheeks. Get on my nerves. They ain't never run nothing but their mouth in their whole life. You try doing this. And then look at my wife and it's her anniversary. Yeah. Do this for free. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Now, see, we skip that part because that doesn't concern us. We go to the next part. Watch this. This is what we quote. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive it all. Glory, reach up and receive it. Pull it down, y'all. Pull it down. Pull it down. Got an overflow. I'm living in an overflow. And we're like, yeah, hallelujah. And we give. We make sure we won't pay our rent. But we're going to get a church. It's like, this is not Vegas. This is not San Miguel's. This is not wherever else y'all be going. Come on. Come on. Oh, this slot is hot. Come on. The purpose of the tithe. And the Bible tells us in Leviticus, the tithe belongs to God. That's why when they approached Jesus and about they were trying to trip him up about the taxes with the money, he says, whose inscription is on there? He says, Caesar's. He said, what do we do? He said, wait, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but unto God what is? Now, what is God's then? It went out with the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Then how do we still have a church then if people don't give? Y'all get mad when we don't have donuts. And y'all people don't understand how what it takes to run this. But you, Monique, our CPA, sent me an email saying, Pastor, do you know, I think we were 10 months in, we have spent $9,000 on donuts? Yeah, y'all don't know where to get. You think all the money's going to me, don't you? It's going to y'all and your donuts. Seriously. Okay. Yeah, 4 minutes. Let me get back to my message. Okay. But that's the, oh, no. Stay there. No. You're going to see this. Because this, you got to move this thinking. Next, go to, next verse, please. 11. Watch this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. This is what God is saying. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. That's beautiful. Neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. This is what God is promising if you tithe. Now, people say they went out the Old Testament. You know what? I still need that promise in my life. Now, hold on. Let me show you. I need the devourer rebuked. Yes. Get out of Tony's life. The devourer, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what I hear when I see that, tithing helps keep that sucker off me. In order to move into that position, I just need to give 10%. And then you're going to bless the 90? And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Watch this. Neither shall your vine cast fruit before the time. See, timing is everything. You got a new product. You're coming up. You want to launch your website. You got some of your business. You need to start it at the right time so the right people will be there. You got to do it in a time. God's timing is everything. Yes. Next verse, please. Next verse. And all nations shall call you what?
Blessed.
Sad, sorry, broke, busted, and can't be trusted. All nations. That word nations, that's all ethnic groups. Not geopolitical boundaries. For you shall be a what? Delightsome land. That's what I'm going for. So that's part of the 10%. But so I get excited about that benefit for me, but ultimately it's so that there will be food in the house. And food is really so we can meet the needs of the people. Not only in Corona, but in other cities. Not only in Corinth, but in the church in Jerusalem. You get how this works. It's not that deep. Now let's get back to, where are we? 2 Corinthians 9. Where? 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, okay? Verse 8, here we go. And God will generously provide, oh, there it is again, that's New Testament. And God will generously provide all you need. How will he provide it? You know, there have been times when, like, I've been driving and, like, okay, I need gas. I call Jackie, I need gas. Is there enough in the account for me to get gas? We've lived through that. Okay, yeah, like, or you go in like, let me have 10 on number 3. Can't fill up. Now, this how I like living. I just pull up the gas station, stick the thing in, zoom, let it flow, and then go click, take it out, put it away, drive off. Full tank. Don't have to ask her, do I have gas money? He says, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. Say everything.
Everything.
And plenty left over. Plenty left over. Why? Why do I have plenty left over? We're blessed to be a? Okay, verse 9. As the scriptures say, he's quoting Old Testament. He's quoting Old Testament. Oh, wait, that went all with the law. He's quoting Old Testament in the New Testament. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered how long? That's what I want. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. See, that's the thing is a lot of us is eating our seed. The seed is to be sown, not consumed by you. He will provide an increase and increase your resources. That's what I'm talking about. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in just some of your ways, in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. There it is again, a ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So your giving helps the needs of others to be met. Think about that for a moment. Now, we all want to receive. Verse 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity. Say generosity. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Obedient. Your generosity is being obedient. Obedience. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. 14, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. I need people to pray for me. 15, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Question, is Jesus only your Savior or is he your Lord also? Oh, you got your fire insurance. You're going to heaven because you received Christ. But if he's your Lord, you're going to be obedient. You're going to submit to him. We don't like the word Lord. That sounds to me like slave owner, Pastor. Get over it. You are never a slave. Where has God brought you from, and what does he want to bring you into? He brought me into a place, brought me out of dysfunction, into a place of blessing so that I can be a blessing. We, this church, New Day, we launched New Day Brazil. And so we set an agreement with the church that we would cover the rent on their building for the first year. They got about 6 months to go. And when the leaders of that church found out what we were doing, you couldn't believe it. Some of them even had tears in their eyes. They said, we've never seen anything like this. And that leadership team down there, they'd all been members of churches before. They'd never experienced such generosity. The church in the Philippines, we cover their rent too. They were blown away. In fact, I just thought about it about 6-7 minutes ago. Next Sunday, or I'll email us. I want you to read the report, what they said, the pastor and his wife sent me, about New Day and how they're praying for us. That scripture right here. We were in a school, and we gave thousands of dollars to other churches to help them get buildings. We didn't even have our own building, and it wasn't even a building on the horizon. Generosity, that's God's spirit. You want him to be generous. You want him to be generous to you. So we take on, we have the nature of God. That's what we're saying. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you? Are you? Is there some evidence to convict you of being righteous? If we take you to court, would you be found guilty of being righteous? Just something to think about. So I know some of you are like, well, Pastor, I don't understand the point of giving. That's what I'm teaching today. No special offering, no anything. Just want you guys to understand. Amen? Amen. Pastor Todd, can we come up? Everybody bow your heads, please. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus.